good morning, everyone. Hope you can hear me. Nice to see such an interested audience for this very specialised event, I would have thought. But here we all are. And we may even see each other again at the next interoperability workshop and the next. It's great to see some of the same people pursuing this interest and meeting fairly regularly over the months and years. I'm not sure, can you hear me at the back? More or less. Yeah, okay. I'll speak a little louder. Thank you. Right, an overview of what I'm going to say. I'm first of all going to compare the types of mapping that are used. I'm sorry this is sounding a bit repetitive because we've already heard something of some of these projects and we will hear more of them. So I hope it won't become too repetitive. I shall probably go rather quickly over those. I'll also bring in Durr's paper. That has not been mentioned this morning, but it is quite often cited in this connection, semantic problems of thesaurus mapping. And then three standards which are attempting to address mapping. Standards are not quite the promised land that Dagobert was talking about a little while ago, nothing quite so ambitious, but something aimed to help ordinary people working on projects here and now. And finally, I'll ask how feasible and practical really it is to standardize mapping types. So starting with the MAX project, I'll try to go quickly because we had some discussion of it already. But I'm starting with context, and I think the bell keeps ringing, the context, every now and again, and it reinforces the sense of including context in the title of this overall event, because context is king. Context does rule what we do, and this applies very much to mapping. When you have a context in mind, how to do your mappings becomes ever so clear and simple and obvious. But move to a different context, and suddenly how you want to do your mappings changes. You haven't quite got that luxury in the standard because you have to, in a sense, produce something that will work across all contexts, not just one. However, the projects were done with particular contexts in mind, so in describing them, I put that first. Multilingual access to collections indexed with different vocabularies. And for the MAX project, there were all subject heading schemes. If you count the Schlag Vort Norm Datei as a subject heading scheme. Some people think it's a thesaurus, some people think it's both. But let's say it's a subject heading scheme for this morning. All mappings are considered equivalents in MAX, but equivalence does subdivide into simple or compound, and also compound equivalence does subdivide into two types. So MAX is fairly simple, which I regard as a great strength, actually. In Crisscross, although it's closely related to MAX, and the context is similar, I hope this isn't too much of an abbreviation, improving access to vocabularies and heterogeneously indexed collections. In Crisscross, all the mappings are one way, and they're all from a subject heading scheme to a classification scheme. By the way, if I get this wrong, well, you guys know these schemes better than I do. You'll find some tactful way of explaining what needs to be taken into consideration as I discuss your projects. In Crisscross, we have typically many mappings from one keyword. And I'd say that in Crisscross, I don't detect particular mapping types. The degrees of determinacy, as described yesterday, are what are used from the strong to the weak degree of determinacy. Renardus has not been mentioned much this morning, and I don't know if we have any people here from Renardus. The context here is searching and browsing across gateways, and it's all classification schemes in this content. Notice that all the projects we've done so far have been about helping users, the consumption, it's at the consumption end of things, not at the indexing thing end. Dagobert made a brief mention of the fact that you could also apply mappings for indexing, but I think all these main projects we're aware of are thinking about users either searching or browsing, or and that is the time at which the mappings are being applied. In Renardus, they're all one way, from Dewey to local schemes. And Renardus say they have five mapping types, so fully equivalent, broader. I'm slightly puzzled by broader or narrower equivalent. Why isn't it just broader or narrower? What's the difference between broader and broader equivalent? Why? Anyway, that's what they call it, broader equivalent or narrower equivalent. And then major or minor overlap. That is two types of inexact equivalence. They count it as five altogether. Now we come on to Komohe, which I think is going to be described later this morning. And here we have 25 different vocabularies. Some are thesauri, and some are classification schemes. They have mappings in two directions, but they're not calling them two-way mappings, and I think that's correct. They've done them independently in both directions. And they have three basic types. So there's equivalence, hierarchical, associative. And then there's a thing they call the null relationship, although by definition there's no relationship. So I think it's a housekeeping mark rather than a mapping type. Any mapping could be one-to-one or one-to-many. And then there's this thing called a relevance rating. I'm not sure if that's the same as a degree of determinacy, but any of the mappings can be qualified as high, medium, or low. I'm not sure also to what extent that has been implemented so far. Passing on to Durr, and that's the reference to his article in the Journal of Digital Information. Again, his context is serving mappings used at the point of serving the users rather than at the point of indexing. And they're all thesauri. This time they're being applied to museum collections, which for Durr is a big issue because he's an ontology man, and the way you describe an object might be different from the way you describe a document. And his basic types, there we have four: exact, inexact, broader, and narrower. But you could say broader and narrower are both one type, just working in opposite directions. And any of three of them, they can be either simple or compound. And again, compound equivalence is in two types, which he says mean a Boolean expression using and, or not. But when I look through his paper, I can't find a single example using not logic. And I question whether it's ever a good idea to put not logic into a mapping statement, because not is a very dangerous thing. It can give you surprising results. So I think in practice we're talking about and or. Now, that was the project, and I'm moving on to the first standard that came out that I'm aware of that deals with mapping. And BS, this is a British standards, 8723, part four of it, provides for mapping of search terms or index terms. It attempts that greater degree of generality, describing mappings in such a way that they could be applied for either purpose. And the emphasis is on thesauri because BS 8723 came out of ISO 2788 and ISO 5964. It does consider other vocabulary types as well, but the emphasis is on thesauri. And here we have, they're now becoming a bit familiar, these three mapping types: equivalence, hierarchical, associative. I say they're becoming familiar, but I've sort of gone through each one of these projects. Although there's lots of common features, every single one is slightly different from the other, which begs the question of, can you standardize? Anyway, fairly a familiar thread: equivalence, hierarchical, and associative. And again, hierarchical subdivides into broader and narrower. And equivalence subdivides into simple and compound. Also in this standard, and in ISO 2788 and ISO 5964, where you may be familiar with it there, there's a big discussion of degrees of equivalence. And I find that a lot of confusion is caused by this this clause on degrees of equivalence, because it talks about exact, inexact, partial, and no equivalence, as though they were, as though you should use those when you are making your statements of relationships or mappings. But actually, the standards do not, so far, do not provide a way of distinguishing exact from inexact in your statement of a relationship. The discussion is more about what you find in discourse or when you're planning your mappings rather than what you use. Moving on to SCOS. This is another and now becoming quite widely used, I'd say, standard. The context here is sharing and linking of knowledge organization for the semantic web, basically. And nowadays, I think of that as, again, addressing the search or user end of the spectrum. You expect the mappings to be applied while you're searching. However, while that is the current situation, I wonder if in future the semantic web might also enable some indexing applications. And SCOS, too, began with thesauri, but they soon broadened out to cover other sorts of knowledge organization schemes as well. And here are the five things. They don't call them mapping types, they call them properties. And interestingly, exact match is a special sort of close match. But there are the others related. The close match and exact match are basically equivalents. Related is associative, and broad and narrow are hierarchical. However, there's no provision in SCOS for compound mappings. And one says, I wonder why. Because when you do mappings, time and again, you want to map A to a combination of B and C. It's not in there in SCOS. And one reason could be it's rather difficult to make it work. I haven't heard any explanation. Antoine, did you want to make a point about that?
So yeah, just in support of what you say, it was a matter of making it difficult to work.
Yeah.
The lack of, there were not many examples to base our analysis on.
Yeah, yeah.
And that also may have been confusing with respect to other ontology modeling efforts, which also carry this kind of combination thing.
Yeah. Okay. Difficult to make it work. But nonetheless, people want to do it. So I just put that up as an area in which SCOS might think about expanding in one future, given the availability of resources. ISO 259642, this is the standard that I'm currently working on, and for me it's very real, although it's still in draft, and you won't see the final thing come out for at least 2 years. It is a revision of ISO 2788 and 5964, and also of BS8723, which sort of gives the idea of what will be in 25964, but it will have changed quite a lot. Again, like BS8723, we're providing for the mapping of search terms or index terms, and the emphasis is on thesauri, and we have the same three basic types. But a new thing that we're doing in there, we're bringing in a way of saying this relationship is inexact. And inexactitude can actually, in theory at least, apply to any of those three relationship types. But actually, where it's useful is with equivalence. So although you can do it with the broader and narrower and related, it's most practical to apply it to equivalence. And here, just to, I hope you can read them, just to make it clear what I'm talking about, equivalence. There are some examples there, like laptop computers and notebook computers, absolutely identical. There's your hierarchical, the relationship between roads and streets. Associative, they're just kind of related in some way, journals and magazines, you're not quite sure how. And then if you want to say that one of them is inexact, we're recommending that you symbolize that by putting a little tilde in front of your equivalence relationship, just to say it's not quite as secure as a full equivalence. Now, I've just simplifying the page. I've cleared out the other stuff, and we've just got the relationships. But now I'm expanding it to show the full detail that we've got. So equivalence subdivides and then subdivides again into two sorts of compound, which we're calling intersecting compound equivalence and cumulative broader equivalence. There's hierarchical subdividing. And then inexact, we're applying it across the board, but and notice that it can also apply to compound equivalence when it gets significantly more complicated than it was when you applied it to simple equivalence. More detail. Sorry to be going through all this. You know, we've had so much discussion of it. I hope it's not boring. Trouble is, when you're doing the standard, you've got to kind of check everything with extreme care. Almost as demanding as those canonical expressions that we were going to have from Dagobert. Here are some examples, because I find very often people don't really understand these two different types of compound equivalence, and you have to spell it out with examples to make it clear how very different the two types are. And here in this one, again, I'm showing Aya. That we're using two different symbols. We're not using and or, because and or, those expressions are very good when you're doing searching. You can put in an or, and the system knows how to interpret it. But when you are doing indexing, you can't put into an indexing statement so-and-so and something else. You can't put term A or term B. You've got to do something else. So we're using neutral symbols there to symbolize the Boolean and or that really is applying. And just to bring the point home, with two examples, as soon as you see the examples, everything becomes clear how very different the two types of compound equivalence are. That with this one, the intersecting equivalence, when you look at these two terms, women and executives are both broader terms of women executives, which are just this little area here. Whereas in the case of this one, inland waterways is made up of the combination of rivers and canals. In this case, inland waterways is the broader term, and rivers and canals are actually narrow terms. And you look at that and you say, oh, I could have set up mappings differently. I could have done hierarchical relationships between them. I think we use the compound equivalence in cases where, in this sort of case, if you can say that one subject divides into just a small number that you could connect with ores, rivers, canals, and there are very few others, then a compound equivalence is appropriate. Whereas if there were very many different types of inland waterway, you would tend just to set it up as a hierarchical relationship, a hierarchical mapping. Okay. Now, some of the key messages about compound equivalence. Compound equivalence really is significantly more complicated than the simple. I wish we didn't always want to do it. Unfortunately, we do. You implement it quite differently when you're applying it to indexing terms from when you're applying it to search terms. And quite differently, the intersecting ones work differently from the cumulative ones. If you're doing a search statement and you put in a Boolean expression with and, it is implemented one way. If you put the expression in with or, it's implemented a completely different way. You don't know about it. The computer looks after it for you. When you're doing it with indexing, you're much closer to the action because you have the context of a particular document in front of you. And if you want to map from women executives in one area to women plus executives in the other, in your indexing statements, you would put on both of those terms. And similarly, when you do the inland waterways example, map from inland waterways to rivers plus canals, you put both of those terms into the indexing statement. So you've brought them together. You've applied them in much the same way to an indexing statement, whereas when you do them for a search statement, it works rather differently. So one of my first things I said when I started speaking, context makes all the difference. If you're the person setting up these mappings and you're clear of your context, you know how it's going to be used. It's going to be used in searching, it's going to be used in indexing. It's very easy to think through clearly how this will play out, how it will work for the users. Will they be pleased or displeased when they see the results of what you do? When you're doing it in a more general way, it is harder and more difficult to foresee the results of implementing the mappings. And the other key message, reinforced by Antoine's words just now, with simple equivalents, things are fairly simple, and a lot of conversions can be done in both directions without too much problem. You may have to check them, but they generally work in two ways. But as soon as you bring in compound equivalents, you can't work them backwards. You just can't put Humpty Dumpty together again once he's broken up into pieces without a whole lot more context of a particular document in mind. Another complication with the equivalence mappings, and as a reminder, there's the simple one again, and here are the compound ones again. Now let's move to inexact. With simple, we put that little tilde in front of the EQ. That's how we indicate it. And it's fairly clear what's going on. With the inexact compound equivalence, what's happening with these relationships it could be analyzed in quite complicated ways. The women executives, on the left-hand side, have got the same. On the right-hand side, women has become females, and executives has become managers. But it would still have been inexact if we'd only changed one of these. We could have this could have been females plus executives, or it could have been women plus managers, and we would still have called it inexact. So what I'm trying to point out here is that although we're reducing these equivalence types to just a few categories, actually, if you really wanted to analyze them, there's an awful lot more going on. I'm not sure how worthwhile it is to analyze them more. But for the world of practical mapping that goes on at the moment, I don't think people have the patience to analyze them more. And my feeling is that if you go into that level of detail, it is about as complex as you possibly could make it in a standard and get away with it with some hope that people might apply it. Another complication, are you going to try and do major and minor overlap as well? Several of the projects I mentioned did have something like it, especially Renardus. Maybe the relevancy rating in Comohe is something similar, or maybe not. I believe that earlier versions of SCOS allowed a thing called major match and minor match, and that got deprecated, and I thought that was quite sensible. because, again, it's complicated, and it's hard to define what do you mean by major and minor match. It's so subjective, it's hard to judge. You could apply it with two collections where you're able to look at those collections and say, ah, I can see that the overlap is major here or minor there. But next year, the collection has developed. It's no longer major and minor. You've left it behind, or you apply it to another collection, it's gone. So if you did apply it, the place where you would put it would be in exact equivalence, maybe also to hierarchical and associative mappings. But how would you judge it in cases of compound equivalence? It would get awfully complicated. And so what we're doing, remember that our standard is in draft. I'm telling you what we've got in the latest draft of the standard. But I'm only the leader of this project. I have a working group of something like 16 members, and they all have different opinions. And we have a teleconference once a month, and generally they're all very polite in the teleconference. But then after that comes an email that says, I completely disagree with what was said about subject heading schemes or about some other aspect of just what we've been doing. And you have to get this committee to agree, reach a consensus on what we're actually going to do. At the moment, what we are putting in is that you can have this major or minor overlap, but that you're probably best applying it in the context of a particular project, and then you can do it whichever way you like. And we'll see what happens. If this standard comes out for real and people start implementing it, we'll see how people apply it. And maybe a few years later down the line, it will become more obvious what to do. So I'm coming to the crunch now. Can we standardize these mapping types? No problem writing them in the standard document. You can do that. But then will anyone pay any attention? Or will it be a bit like in British folklore, we had a king long ago called King Canute or King Canute, who they said was so powerful that the seas would obey his command. And so they put it to the test. They sat him on his throne down on the seashore and watched the tide coming in. Would it go back at his word? And he was proved ridiculous. I forget whether he set the test up just to show his courtiers a lesson or whether it was the other way around. You can put a thing in a standard, but will people follow it? If a standard is going to stick, one thing you've got to do is keep it simple. And I get nervous every time the experts in my working group come up with yet another idea but there's a distinction between this type and that type, and we ought to do this and we ought to do the other. If people are going to apply it, it's got to be simple enough so that they can understand it and do it without a lesson every time they're going to do their mappings. You also have to be addressing a real need, and you can't take that answer for granted either. I mean, if I look around the people in this room, probably you don't need a standard because you are expert, you are into this. You wouldn't be here at this meeting if you hadn't studied the matter and knew a thing about it. So a standard isn't neither here nor there, and when you set up the next glorious project, you'll probably find some other way of doing it. But it's different for ordinary people doing simple mapping applications. As a consultant, I come across a lot of people who organisations who haven't got a lot of cash, but they're obliged, for instance, in the public sector, they've got to comply with some regulation that says you've got to put on terms from this vocabulary and that vocabulary, and by the way, for in-house purposes, would you mind doing this as well? So they're faced with the expense of three lots of indexing. And they could save a lot of money if a lot of that indexing could just be done automatically by mapping instead of by people thinking about it. So they say, we're going to do mapping. And they say, computer department, set up your mapping. And off they go, and they find the same word in the two different vocabularies, and they say, these are the same, we'll map from this to that. And in a flash, they have produced rubbish. Those people, I'm not trying to be disparaging about people, they're expert in other fields. They haven't got the time to go studying. A standard that just explained to them what to do would surely help them. You've got to adopt rules that are broadly accepted, and we've tried our best to look around at the mapping types that are around and draw from that a common core that we hope will be acceptable. I have to say, influenced strongly by the thesaurus background that it comes from. Those relationships, hierarchical, associative, and equivalence, are long established, so they feel to us fairly obvious, like the way to go ahead. A another useful thing is not to go out on a limb if nobody's got any software to do anything. Software is in a state of development at the moment. There are some tools around, not as many as we would like. They don't all present things with the nice interfaces that I, for one, would like. But at least there are some candidates coming along. Oh, this is a terrible one. Make the standard. I so envy the W3C people and those who are working in the open world, where they can share their work on the web. In the world of the International Standards Organization and all of the national standards bodies, we are bound by confidentiality and secrecy, and when the standard comes out, it has a terrible price on it, which puts off most people from buying it. No escape from that. At the moment, I think business models are possibly being rethought, and maybe things will change. But at the moment, it is very hard. And I sometimes say to myself, why did I ever start doing this with BSI and ISO? I mean, the reason why I started with them is we had the existing standards needing to be revised and updated. It seemed obvious to go that route. It seemed obvious to choose that way of getting the seal of approval. But I don't look forward to the high price on the end. And if you thought that price was a killer, committing to lifetime maintenance is another one. Maintaining a standard, building a standard and maintaining it is a huge amount of work, far more work than you can ever explain how it took place. Maintaining it, if you don't maintain it, it's the death knell. What will happen to these standards after they come out? Who knows? I would like to hand them on to someone else. Now, you may have been put off getting hold of a copy of this thing by my mention of the price. However, there is some good news. We will have a committee draft, or a draft international standard, by January, we hope, next year. And officially, you should go to DIN or AFNOR, etc., INOR, these various standards bodies, to get it. Interestingly, the policy of each national standards body is different from each other one. No standardization there. How you get hold of the thing is a mystery. But last time we found BSI was prepared to put our draft up absolutely free of charge, free of passwords for anybody. You didn't have to be British. You could see it worldwide. And you could put in your comments, and the comments were transmitted to us. Whether you said you were a New Zealander or a little green man from Mars, we still got the comments. So look out. That was, when I say last time, that was part one. But for part two, look out for it and do send me your comments. If you want to know when it becomes available, send me an email. There's the address. And I'll try and let you know when this small window of opportunity, there'll only be about 2 months for you to get and look at the thing. Do take advantage of it. Just let me know. And I'm just finishing. I'm trying to give references, abbreviated references, to things I've been talking about if you want to look them up. And that's it. Thank you very much.